Welcome to Webcamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today we will be sans Corey. Corey is actually holed up in a corner somewhere doing what I should be doing right now and working. But I had the opportunity to have two of my heroes on the show today, so I wanted to take that opportunity. They're actually in town for the MVP Summit, and I would definitely give them MVP status, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But I'd like you to welcome Anthony Vanderhorn.
Hey guys, how you
doing? And Nick Mommy. They are from different places on the earth. You probably hear his wonderful accent from Brisbane, Australia, where it's much prettier than here. And I think that's where you were from.
New York City.
New York City. So two wonderful places. What I'm here to tell you about today, or I'm going to let them tell you about here because they can do a much better job than I can, is this wonderful tool called Glimpse. You've probably heard them talking about Glimpse on Hansel Minutes. I'll tell you my story about Glimpse. Before I came to Microsoft, I was a consultant and I worked on an MVC project with a gentleman that had not worked on MVC. He was working really hard trying to make everything as glued together as possible, but, you know, learning pains. So when I inherited the code in the bug bashing stage, there were views inside of views inside of views inside of whatever glued together by JavaScript. And it was rather difficult for me to find different areas when I was trying to debug things or, more to the point, fix bugs. I discovered Glimpse and I downloaded it, and I think I quoted about 100 hours that you guys saved me from having to find the view that I needed to edit.
That's awesome.
So if you are working on any kind of an ASP.NET project, I don't know if you support other languages, hopefully you'll tell us that today.
Yeah.
If you're working on an ASP.NET project, or God forbid you've inherited bad code on an ASP.NET project and you can't figure out how to fix things, please pay attention today and then go and grab Glimpse, because it will really give you a good glimpse inside of your ASP.NET project and help you save yourself from yourself or your teammates. And these guys have a wonderful announcement to make today, and I'm going to shut up and let them kind of start talking now. But I'll turn it over to Anthony and let him get started.
Well, essentially, in terms of announcements, we've just gone V1 official. We've been doing this for about 2 years now. And we've finally gone through all the betas and everything like that, and you know, all the late nights, and we've finally got V1 out, and we have a nice shiny new website.
Nice.
And so we're very happy with that. So so hopefully you'll be able to download that and everything will just work for you. So, but in terms of Glimpse, I think it really goes back to when Nick and I were standing on a subway platform back in New York, and back then we were working for the same company. And we're thinking about, you know, how can we educate users in terms of, or our developers that we were working with at the time about, you know, MVC and, you know, different projects and concepts, because in today's world, convention over configuration is such a large thing. And so trying to figure out exactly how routing works or model binding or something like that, particularly when it's going wrong, is really, really difficult. They don't make it easy for you at all, okay? And so what we were trying to think, starting to think about doing was, well, I wonder if we can actually surface any of this information to the user. And Nick said, back in the day when I was doing Cold Fusion, you know, am I still showing how old you are, mate?
It's all right, I'm standing next to Brie. I'm looking all right.
I've done that too.
he said, you know, they had this concept that, you know, at the bottom of the page, that output all of this sort of tracing information, and that was actually built in as part of the framework and part of the language. And we were like, how has no one ever done this for, like, .NET, you know, or any other programming language? And so we're like, surely it can't be that hard. And I say that 2 years later, you know. So we're like, let's have a go at it. And, you know, maybe a week went by, and we were both happened to be going to Mix 11. Great conference. Here's to bringing it back. We were like, you know, we found out that there was a thing called Open Source Fest, which they've only held it the once. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for us, you know, that's what made it for us. So basically the concept was John Popper hosted it, and he invited all these open source projects to show, you know, the rest of the community what their projects were doing and how they were put together and all this sort of stuff. So we were there, and we submitted, and we found out about a week later that we're in, and we're like, oh no, we've got 5 weeks till Mix and we have no code. And so we
spent... That's what we call vaporware.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Back of a napkin wear.
Yeah,
that's good.
And so we were like, okay, we've got to put this together. And so over the next 5 weeks, we put together pretty much what is the core of Glimpse. And we went to mix, and you know, we were fortunate enough that people like Phil Hack and Scott Hanselman saw what we were doing, and you know, connected to it straight away.
Right.
And I think we hit on a niche where, you know, breakpoints and log files are great, but I can't believe they're the, prior to something like Glimpse, the main diagnostic tools we have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the idea of Glimpse is if breakpoints are like the 1 foot view of your code, you know, we're trying to say, well, what if you hopped up to the 10,000 foot view? What information would you want to see? And then if you started taking steps down from that, like the 8,000 foot view, the 5,000 foot view, what would you want to see? And so that's at the back of our minds whenever we're thinking about, well, what data can we expose and all this sort of stuff. That's what we're looking at.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so NuGet has acted as a really great delivery mechanism for us. And so you can find us on NuGet. And yeah, it's been a pretty wild ride.
Nice. What's the NuGet package? Glimpse or Glimpse MVC? Or
yeah, so we've got a core Glimpse package that doesn't have very much functionality just because of the way NuGet is set up. You have like many packages depending all on each other. And so the one you'll want to get if you're doing MVC projects is glimpse.mvc 3, if you're doing MVC 3 or MVC 4 or whatever else you're looking for. And otherwise, if you're just doing pure, you know, web forms development, you can just look up glimpse.asp.
Nice.
And download that.
Nice. Well, yeah. just in case you haven't had the pleasure of using Glimpse, I believe we have a demo queued up.
We do.
Take a look at it.
And let's see how this thing works, because it's good stuff.
So what I want to start with is we have downloaded the ASP.NET MVC Music Store, which is a tutorial built by John Galloway on top of MVC 3. So it helps you learn a little bit about the way MVC works. But essentially, it's an e-commerce application for a fictional record store. You can go and buy some jazz albums. I'm sorry, but I don't have any grunge on here for
That's
you.
Okay.
So we'll just maybe stick with rock.
Call
it close enough.
That'll work.
And so this application is kind of an out-of-the-box application. Just pretend that this is your application. To add Glimpse to the application, we're going to go ahead and leverage NuGet. And so we can come into our solution. We will manage our NuGet packages. And we can go online and do a search for Glimpse. Now, as Anthony was mentioning, we have several packages for Glimpse. One of which is, oh, look at this. Yeah, I'm prepared. We're technological. These are a couple of our most popular packages. Because we're working on an MVC 3 project, I'm going to go ahead and install the MVC 3 package. And you'll notice that package has dependencies on ASP.NET, which has a dependency on core. So all that stuff will get resolved for you automatically by NuGet. So I'm going to go ahead and hit install. Packages will download. They'll get dropped into the bin, they'll get added to assembly references, and we actually will tweak your web config. We'll add about 4 lines of web configuration for you to get up and running.
Thank you again, NuGet gods.
Yes. That's awesome. So we have a README file that will open up here right inside of Visual Studio that will tell you everything you need to do to get up and running. But since you're watching, let's just go ahead and skip that. I'm going to go ahead and rerun my application now that I've added Glimpse, and here we are. We're on Music Store. Nothing looks any different. Glimpse just kind of runs very transparently. You have to opt in to getting some information from Glimpse. So the way that we do that, now that you've installed Glimpse, is you'll have a new URL by default called /glimpse.axd. I can run there, and I'm going to get these big buttons for turning Glimpse on and off. I'm going to actually open up my bookmarks toolbar. I'm going to drag Glimpse on up here. I'm going to drag Glimpse off up here. And I'm then going to turn off my bookmarks. Now I'll leave my bookmarks where on. We can go back to the home page. And now that we have these buttons here, I can just hit turn Glimpse on, and there you go. Glimpse appears.
That's money.
And so if I wanted to turn it off, turn it off. So that's great. You don't have to use the bookmarks bar. If you don't like bookmarks, you can just go back to that page and click those buttons at any time that you want, like so. So there we go. I'll just turn it on, and we will continue. So usually, you might see Glimpse start like this. We kind of try to keep a really low profile. Mm-hmm. We just hang out right in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. So, you know, when you need that information, you can pop Glimpse open, and it looks very much like Firebug. It was actually inspired by Firebug. And originally, when Anthony and I were discussing Glimpse, we were actually going to make a browser plugin.
Nice.
So it was going to be a Firefox plugin and a Chrome plugin. And we're like, oh, this is a Microsoft thing, so we got to make an IE plugin.
I like this better.
Yeah. You know, it was actually a POC. The truth is, we did JavaScript as a POC.
Nice.
And then it worked everywhere.
I love it.
And so we're done.
Yeah.
Nice. Don't need to do that. Don't need to worry about it anymore.
I think that's probably my favorite feature of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I love that aspect of it. That and the fact that you made your AXD so nice looking. I mean, like, the first time I saw it, I thought, this is really idiot-proof.
Good.
Like, I can just click the button and it's on.
Perfect.
It's good stuff.
Perfect.
I like your bookmark method better.
Yeah, it's handy because it follows you around. You don't have to remember that URL once you get it set up the first time.
Nice.
It's funny. People don't actually believe that this is just a CSS and HTML rendering. So we often have to do, this is really weird, it's like Inception. We often open up the developer tools of the browser. So the bottom section down here is Firebug. Up here is Glimpse, and you can see I can use Firebug, my client-side tool, to debug Glimpse, my server-side tool.
Nice.
It's kind of a mind freak thing there that we have to deal with sometimes when we're debugging.
Nice.
So I know that you're familiar with Glimpse, but let me kind of just show off a couple of the high-level features that we have. So first and foremost, what Glimpse does is it gathers information about the server environment that responded to the HTTP request that you're looking at. So the most important thing to realize when you're looking at Glimpse is this little status bar area right here that says HTTP, localhost, and then our port number, 33333.
Mm-hmm.
That's because every single piece of information that you're looking at in Glimpse is corresponding to that little status area. If I go over here back to your favorite genre of rock music, you'll notice our status bar changes, and all of the information that we're looking at is for that rock request.
Nice.
So Glimpse works on a request-by-request basis. So we'll show information about your web config and some of the configuration settings. You can see here that we have, you know, client validation is enabled. That's an MVC feature.
Mm-hmm.
We can see some of our connection strings. That's really handy if you're in a multi-stage environment and you're looking at a pre-prod and you're like, why is there no data on the website anymore? Oh, I have the wrong connection string.
Right.
Or, oops, I accidentally deleted production data.
Makes sense.
Et cetera, et cetera. We also have an environment tab, which will show you all the information about the server that responded to that request, which is really handy in a web farm when you have server A and server B and your load balancer is maybe doing round robin or you just don't really know what server you're going to end up on.
Nice.
You can find out what version of the framework you're running, whether or not you're in debug mode. You can see here I'm running off of my laptop, which has four processors and was started at 14.10.06 today.
That's wild.
So there you go. You know, we kind of have some other tabs. Trace is a big one. Let me go to a page that actually is outputting some tracing. Back on the home screen, you can see that we have a trace drop down. And so, did you do web forms development before MVC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so did I, unfortunately.
I actually go back and forth.
Do you?
Yeah,
Oh, good for you. You're ambidextrous.
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. Remember, it's one ASP.NET framework.
It is.
It's one.
Scott Hanselman would be happy to hear me talk
about
that. So you know that you can put in your at page directive, you can turn on tracing.
Right.
And web forms, and you get all the tracing dumped out at the bottom of the page.
Yes.
Nice. And then when we moved over to MVC, we lost that feature. It's gone. You can't do that in MVC.
Interesting.
But Glimpse puts it back.
Nice.
And so I think we do it in a slightly nicer UI than just dumping it at the bottom of your screen. But you can see here we support some coloring and indenting, and we also show you timing information so you can see how long it took to get to that, that trace.
Yeah.
That's kind of rudimentary, but sometimes you're stuck in a position where you have to see the execution path of your code by tracing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're stuck there. So you want to support that.
Nice. That's awesome.
So let me dig into some of our more MVC-specific views.
Cool.
So one that's really interesting is this is Views tab.
This is the tab that saved me.
This is the tab that
thousands of hours.
Literally. So a lot of people don't really realize this, that out of the box, MVC uses multiple view engines. You might only be using Razor, or you might only be using WebForms, or whatever third-party one you've plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the box, you have WebForms and Razor. So what we're looking at here is things that are highlighted in yellow are successful
matches
to a particular view.
Nice.
So for this page, we were looking for a requested view called Index.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a partial view. And so MVC asked the WebForms view engine to check its cache to see if it could find Index. And what do you know? It was not found in the cache.
Mm-hmm.
But MVC is fairly persistent. It doesn't give up. It says, okay, fine, WebForms, you don't have it. Let me go ask the Razor view engine to also check its cache. And Razor didn't have it. Okay, that's fine. Let's go ask the WebForm view engine. But this time, don't look in cache. Go to disk.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go on disk? We'll show you where it went on disk. So we had four different file I/O operations to check to see if any of those files were there.
Wow.
Not there.
Right.
And so what ended up happening is finally we went back to Razor, did not check the cache. We were able to find it. And so it was a successful match, so now we actually know some information about the view, and so we can show you your model type. In this case, we're passing in a list of albums, and we know that model state is actually valid.
Nice. So it doesn't just show you I mean, pretty much there's nothing you guys aren't showing.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of scary how much you're showing. You're showing the model that infused the view. You're mm-hmm. showing me the views that aren't there that it thought might be.
Yeah.
And you're showing me the view that it found.
Yes.
By the way, I haven't used Glimpse in a while, but the last time I used it, you didn't yellowify this. So I had to kind of know, oh, that's the one that worked.
Yeah.
So I would go look in my views folder. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the first time I saw it, I was like, why is it not finding the view? Like, it's telling me that it's looking for this view, and there's no view with that name in the folder.
Yeah.
And then, it, like you said, the idea was to teach people how MVC works. I actually learned more about the MVC internals looking at Glimpse. I realized it's going to be hunting through these yeah. different folders. You learn a lot just
yeah.
looking at the tool.
Perfect.
It's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's a big movement in the industry right now towards convention over configuration,
yep.
which we love. It makes our lives simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't understand the convention,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of stuck. You
yeah.
know, you don't really know what the framework's doing. You don't
right.
really have a good way. You got to start Googling around mm-hmm. to try to binging around to start finding things.
Right, right.
Is that a bad word in this studio?
We Google on Bing.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. So let me show you a couple more quick tabs here, and then I'm going to hand it over to Anthony to show off some of the really cool ones. So routes is also very popular. Routes until today was mm-hmm. an MVC feature for Glimpse.
Mm.
Even though it's been available in one ASP.NET Sphere for a while,
right.
as of today it's now available to WebForms users as well.
Nice, awesome.
This is really simple routing configuration for this application because it's mm-hmm. a simple beginner application, but same paradigm, yellow highlight means it was a match.
Right.
You can see here that we skipped the first route, which was towards a research AXD,
mm-hmm.
a resource AXD. We missed that one. We took the next one, the default one that you usually have. You can see the name of it. You can see the parameters, and we can also see what the default values were. In this case, we're only seeing the defaults because home and index are the defaults. Let me go ahead and do another page so we can see something more interesting. So now you can see the controller was overwritten. Instead of using the default that's home, we're using store, which is coming from the URL.
Nice.
And instead of the action being index, we're using browse.
Nice.
So that's great. We also show a little bit of timing information here about how long it took to check that route, which is a little bit more important when you have a constraint,
yeah.
right? Because sometimes people do bad things and their constraints, and they might go query a database or something like that that's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't want to do that, so we try to surface that information.
Cool.
So execution is not a call stack. This is not showing you a tree of every method call that was made for the request. Instead, it's kind of a flattened call stack, but only from the perspective of MVC.
Okay.
So we're showing every action method and action result that got executed, plus all of the action filters that happened before and after that in the order in which they've happened.
Gotcha.
And that gets a little confusing because the way MVC orders those things changed between MVC 2 and MVC 3.
Mm-hmm.
So Glimpse will kind of expose all of that. If you're ever like, well, why did that action result not run? Why did it run before the authorization result
mm-hmm.
A filter? Now you can take a look at that.
Nice.
And so once again, you'll see here that we have yellow for the matches. So in this case, that would be the action methods and the action result. And we have timing information to show you how long each one of those things took.
Nice.
So Anthony and I actually kind of noticed there's a little bit of a trend here that a lot of our tabs started getting timing information.
Mm.
And so you can kind of nitpick away your way around
mm-hmm.
and you know, see how long it takes for routing and for execution and for views and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really the sexy way of doing it.
Right, right.
So what we did here, and remember, this is still just HTML and CSS JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
We created the timeline, which pulls all of that timing information together and looks like this. So
that's so fantastic.
Is this the first time you've seen this?
This is not
in some of the original betas.
This is really, really awesome. Like I said, I haven't used it in a while, but I'm going to grab it again.
Perfect.
This is awesome.
So it does kind of all the standard things you would expect from a waterfall, Gantt chart kind of tool. You can highlight over each area, and you can find out more information about the actual thing that was happening there. You can see here that this took 13.76 milliseconds and started 3.01 milliseconds in. We can do some filtering. Maybe we don't care about what the controller was doing. We just turn that off. You notice all of our yellows are gone. I can turn it back on. If we really wanted to dive in, like what are these three blue dots right here? If I really wanted to dive into that, I can zoom in just by dragging handles over. I can zoom in, and now you can see. I don't think I zoomed in on the actual right spot, but you can see now I can dig in right into that one little spot. I can see that it happened 17.15 milliseconds into the request.
It's like Camtasia for your web browser.
It is.
Fantastic.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to swap seats here and let Anthony drive and show you some of the more kind of cool tabs for some of the client-side stuff that we
awesome.
Can do as well.
Awesome.
So basically what we've been seeing is diving into an individual request mm-hmm. and kind of like pulling all this information out. And other plugins within our NuGet ecosystem, as it were, can augment this and add extra functionality into it, okay? And so you'll see any of that, most of that functionality appear on this part of the screen.
Cool.
But what we started to realize is, hey, a lot of people are doing AJAX requests these days, okay? And, you know, it's becoming the norm, you know, particularly with SPAR apps and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And so, but an AJAX request is just normal, another request to the server. It's just a HTTP request. And from the server perspective and from a Glimpse perspective, when it detects that AJAX request, it's gathering all of this information for those AJAX requests.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that's a pretty cool. And so what we do is we're able to detect that on the server, detect that it's an AJAX request, and associate it with this current page. And so what we can actually do is come over here to the AJAX tab, and we've created a page here on the home page, which actually has some AJAX requests. And here you can see, you know, Michael Jackson is still king. So essentially, that's like a bit of a news ticker. Mm-hmm. And so what we're wanting to simulate is any AJAX calls that come in. So you'll have noticed that this new request just came in. And we can see, you know, that it was a GET method, that it took, you know, 21 milliseconds, all that sort of stuff. So, and you'll see more coming in because we've just got a ticker. It's polling the server for new results.
Yeah.
And yes, this is a little contrived, but we're wanting to show how essentially how the feature works.
I actually did the same thing when I first installed Glimpse because I knew that we had a couple of JSON actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I whipped up one real quickly to see if I could see my AJAX stuff, and I think I took the rest of the afternoon off. I was like, this project's going to be a piece of cake now. So yeah, I did use that. I was hoping you were going to show it.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I can come in here, and I can actually select one of these requests. Now, the majority, well, where you would have seen most of the change is up here. Now, we're going to be working a little bit on the UI experience mm-hmm. here because I think it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, all of these tabs have had their data change, okay? And we kind of indicate that at the moment that we've replaced the URL up here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that it's home/news, whereas previously we were just at the index of our website. And you can see that we're at the, you know, we could go back to our original result, but we're currently looking at an AJAX result.
Cool.
Okay. And we can prove that by having a look at, let's say, the AJAX, the route tab, sorry, and we can see that the routes that were matched were home and news.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see that, and we can see that, you know, the execution pipeline is much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I reset this back to the original, you'll see that it's a completely different execution pipeline.
That's the original page.
Yeah, that's the original
much
page that I'm looking
than
at.
Just returning a little snippet of news.
Yeah, and that's you can
fantastic.
See now that I've gone back to the original page, we're back. And you can see that as time has gone by, we've been collecting all of this information. We can even come in and say, well, what's the timeline data, okay, for this request? And again, because the news ticker is so simple, you know, there's not much that's happening here, but we get the same functionality. We can zoom in. We can do whatever we need to do here.
Nice. Okay? That's fantastic.
The other request, or the other feature that we kind of had as we were going along is we thought, you know, we're collecting all of this information about the server or about requests that are happening on the server. And we need to store that so you can click on different AJAX requests.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to think about, you know, we're doing a lot more mobile development these days. Wouldn't it be cool if, like, at the bottom of your screen, okay, you could have, you know, Glimpse sitting there. You know, we thought we can do responsive design, you know, CSS, media queries, you know, and you'd have this little compact, you know, Glimpse version. And then we're like, yeah, that's so not going to work.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't imagine putting that whole thing on a mobile phone.
I mean,
this does add to the size of your download for each individual
mm-hmm.
request because you're pulling down all the analytics data as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to put that on a phone, that might get a
it
little cumbersome.
Do. Yeah. And so what we decided is you can turn Glimpse on, okay, on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or this is the scenario we wanted to allow,
mm-hmm.
and be able to see that data in another browser,
mm-hmm.
okay, so like on the laptop here. Okay, we thought, wow, that wouldn't that be cool,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. And so as I'm navigating around here, you'll see that, you know, requests go into the stack, as it were, and I can go back and look at the Jazz one, and again, our context has changed,
mm-hmm.
okay, and now we're looking at, if I click on this one, we can see that our context has changed, And likewise, if we go to the routes tab, we can see that we're looking at a previous request. Okay.
So this tab is allowing us to see historical requests, not just the one that was just made.
Just the last couple. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so we can see all sorts of different information associated with that particular request. Okay. Nice. Like our referrer versus our URL, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But if we go one step further, okay, and if we open up Chrome here, and as a simulation of a phone, we're going to have to take a little bit of a leap of faith here,
right.
Okay? And so if I paste this in, okay, and we're just going here. Now, when we turn Glimpse on, okay, so if we come here and we go Glimpse, you know, AXD,
mm-hmm.
and we turn Glimpse on, and we go back to our home page, what we've got is we've got Glimpse operating over here. And as we navigate around, you'll actually see this counter, okay, over here, incrementing. So we've actually got our connection to the server, okay, and we're seeing this data come in real time.
Nice.
Okay.
So that thing that's called Chrome could be me on my phone.
Right.
And I could be watching that activity.
So you can basically browse your site from your phone while you're sitting at your site at your desktop and kind of see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. And so we can actually see here all these requests happening as I pretty much click on them.
Nice. Okay,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so now I can actually click on one of these and inspect, and I'm seeing that request, and I can, you know, again, going back to routes, I can see the information here. I can see the execution pipeline, all the normal stuff that I've come to expect from Glimpse in here.
Well, you can prove that it worked because you could go to your server variables tab and
mm-hmm.
show that particular request was made from Chrome, not Firefox,
mm-hmm.
which you're currently browsing yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so we can get all the various headers and stuff like that. So we can see that down here, Chrome 24.
Yeah, okay. And we're in Firefox, but you just hit it in Chrome.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And part of the reason you might say, well, I can get this information anywhere, you know, why is that so revolutionary? Because I've got my browser tools. And, you know, in this case in particular with the request tab, we were like, well, what the browser actually sends out from the browser and what the server actually receives and processes could be two very, very different things, okay? So it's very possible for proxies along the way, okay, to muddle around with the data, you know, maybe our different cultural information, who knows what's going on,
right.
Okay, and to try and diagnose those sorts of problems is really difficult.
Yeah, that's hard. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
That's not fun at all.
No. Okay, and so that's a bit about like how we've got the history tab working.
Nice. That's fantastic.
And not that we do this yet, but you know, I could imagine a future, okay, where you can turn Glimpse on in a write-only capacity, as it were, and you could have, you know, a user in the office, you know, who's using your application, who's rung up and say, it's just not working, okay, and you can't replicate it on your machine, so you tell her to turn, you know, press this button in the support page, she can't see Glimpse, okay, it's just turned on in the background for her request now, and you can be sitting here watching her or him navigating around their website, seeing all of this information flowing in, okay, and you can let your imagination run wild.
So basically you can do live debugging with a user. That's
yes, exactly. And you don't need, you know, all these sorts of crazy, you know, firewall rules, you know, throughout, you know, to enable remote debugging or, you know, what happens to the server if I do remote debugging or anything like this.
Nice. You've kind of raised one point that when I was on that project, our boss came to us, and he's kind of a security guy, and he saw that I'd checked in the this was in the old days before we had Slow Cheetah or any of the cool web config transform stuff. Thank you, Syed. So what we did was we had like web dev config, web prog config, yada yada. And he kind of freaked out. He said, hey, I'm seeing this Glimpse thing in the browser and it's really cool. I can see what's going on, but what's going to happen when we deploy to production? And I said, well, I didn't edit the prod file. I just edited the dev and the test file. So we're not going to deploy Glimpse out there. But I'm sure there are other people out there that are wondering, hey, you just showed me how I can look at my connection strings in the browser. That could be bad, especially if my SQL Server or whatever happens to be, you know, on the open internet. Is it difficult for you to turn this off? I mean, I know it is, but what I want you to do is to talk to the viewers about how you can enable that or disable it, because I think it's just a web config tweak.
Yes. So Glimpse 1.0, the new version that we shipped today, is a little bit better than what you were used to.
Okay.
So actually, let me switch over here with you, Anthony. So we have a concept that we call runtime policies.
Okay.
And so you saw us have to go and turn Glimpse on and off.
Right.
Now, the only reason that those buttons exist is because we have a policy that states that Glimpse is only allowed to do any execution if a cookie is set.
Okay.
So that's a policy. You can create your own policies. We also, by default, ship with a policy that says that Glimpse will only run on the local machine.
Cool.
So we've had users who have deployed our release candidates up to Azure, which we support, but say, hey, Glimpse isn't working. Mm. Well, it's because it's hardened. You have to soften it.
Nice.
So you can add any policy that you want to. And actually, what we recommend, and we our NuGet package actually will give you a stub file that is commented out by default, but you'll see this Glimpse security policy.
Mm.
The NuGet project actually added that. And you'll see here that it's completely commented out. I have some style cop rules on, but I can uncomment this if I want to. And now I can do any kind of logic that I want to turn Glimpse on or off for any various reasons. So you can see here that we pass into you the context. And so I can grab the HTTP context. I can check to see if the user is an administrator.
Gotcha.
And if they are, I can turn Glimpse off or on or do whatever I actually want to do. So in this case, we're only, now that I've uncommented this, if I run this, only administrators on the website would actually be able to run Glimpse.
Yeah, that's new. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
That's
so
hot.
It's pretty hot. You can make it do whatever you want to. And so we ship a lot of different policies just to make Glimpse work internally. So
nice.
For example, we have an AJAX policy, which states that if you're returning an AJAX result, you're probably not returning a whole HTML document. You might be just returning an HTML fragment.
Right.
And so we can't really inject our script tag there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we have a policy that says, you know what, we won't change the response of an AJAX request, but instead we'll just add an HTTP header.
Nice. That's
cool. We can pretty much get away with that safely.
That makes sense.
So that's some of the security stuff. You still can. You kind of have an ultimate kill switch on the server, and that is in our configuration. You right here, this default runtime policy.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, we're letting Glimpse be completely on.
Okay.
You can never go higher than this. So if you change this to off, it doesn't matter how many policies you have running, it's never going to be more than off. This is kind of the ultimate kill switch.
Nice.
There's a few levels in between that allows Glimpse to do certain different things. Anthony was talking about that write-only mode.
Yeah.
There's a setting that you can put right in there that would say that Glimpse is allowed to gather data, but never allowed to display it.
Nice.
So you can put that on your server logs or whatever and go back and look at it.
That's cool.
As an IT guy or something
like
that.
So, last question that I have for you, I'm sure we don't have time right now to go into the depth, but when I've shown this to developers, they've looked at it and they've gone, wow, I can't imagine coding this. Like, this must have been really, really hard. It's obviously been a labor of love. You said you worked on it for 2 years. Now it's your full-time job, which is great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But in terms of the underpinning, what's it look like? Is it C++, C#? Like, obviously the JavaScript is nuts. So, yeah.
Well, look at this. We have this ready for you. So I'll talk real quickly about the bottom. And I do want to point out that you said that we get to work with this full time. So I want to thank our sponsor, Redgate, who actually loved Glimpse and called us up and said, we want to make sure that Glimpse continues to thrive.
Nice.
And we think that it deserves more attention than your nights and weekends.
Nice.
So now we work on it full time. And if you ever have a question about Glimpse or need support, you can reach out to us on Twitter. Editor, put in Twitter tags now.
He will.
And that'll work out. So real briefly, kind of at the bottom of this diagram here is the server architecture.
Okay.
We have something that we call the Glimpse protocol that allows the client and server to interoperate.
Nice.
The client and server are completely decoupled. We could have multiple servers. We could have multiple clients.
Mm-hmm.
And they can kind of, you know, cross paths to talk to each other. How they need to.
Yeah, in practice, what that means is that, you know, we've actually had people in the community build a PHP implementation of Glimpse, and we've had people build, you know, a Python implementation of Glimpse, all leveraging the one client, okay?
Nice.
Because at the end of the day, it's just a data contract that we've got, and it's pretty simple. You'd be surprised about how simple it is.
Awesome.
And so if a server sends down that JSON result, we can deal with it.
Nice.
Okay?
So if somebody were to try to, Justin or Nathan, this is a challenge, if you were to write a node implementation, you wouldn't actually have to change the client-side stuff. You just change how you transmit the server-side stuff down.
Yeah, and we've even built the client in such a way that the server can add on functionality. Okay,
nice.
And what I mean by that is AJAX is an added-on piece of functionality. History is an added-on piece of functionality.
Awesome.
And the server may not yet support that, okay, because you're trying to get that server up and running. So if the server doesn't support it, the client won't even light up those parts of the UI.
Awesome. So you'll just hide the history tab.
Yeah, well, essentially.
Nice.
Okay.
So you kind of just build your server out with kind of like level 1 support, level 2.
Yeah.
So essentially, it's an HTTP modulation handler. It's really not rocket science.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The hooks were always there in ASP.NET. MVC does a particularly good job of allowing us to get in and get the diagnostics information that we want. You'll see here that we have everything in orange is an extensibility point.
Awesome.
The particular one I like to point out is tab, which allows people to create additional tabs. And mm-hmm. so there, if you do a search on NuGet for Glimpse, there's about 20 third-party tabs that Anthony and I do not ship that add support for things like Anhibernate, RavenDB, Fluent Security,
and
.NET OpenAuth, et cetera, et cetera.
And we had very little to do with that. You know, the people who...
Just ran with it.
Because at its core, when you're developing a tab, so let's say you've got an internal organization, okay, and you've got, I don't know, a static object, okay, that's got some configuration information in it. Or, you know, you've got a shopping cart that you want to see what's actually currently stored in the shopping cart, you know, for debugging and diagnostics purposes. You can go ahead and implement an object and have it implement an interface called iTab, okay, which is part of Glimpse Core. And really, it's only got a couple of methods, a couple of properties and a method. And that method pretty much just says, return me an object of data that you would like me to display. Okay, so in a static object point of view, if you return, you know, a typed object, okay, to us, we just go, okay, here's an object, it's got a bunch of properties, and I'm going to, you know, render that out as a key value pair table.
Nice.
Okay, or if I've got a list of data, okay, as you can see here, we're trying to display all the modules, okay, that are installed in the system.
Nice.
We can actually see that we want three headers, okay, order, name, and type. And then we've got, you know, we're iterating through each of the modules, okay, and to print out that information,
wow.
Okay. So it's really simple, and all of a sudden, you know, just through type object, okay, I've returned it, and we handled the JSON serialization, mm-hmm. okay, so how to get it out, and the creation of the tab, and all that sort of stuff, and so you can expose your data. And so that's why when, you know, any plugin author, you know, we've talked to after the fact, it's like we were amazed that, you know, they could do that and they didn't even talk to us.
Nice.
Okay,
nice.
And it's because of how simple this contract is. And so you can see one method, one property. Property to tell you what it wants the name of the to show up in the tab.
And I even know what you used to call that. A struct.
Yes. Exactly. Did you make your own?
No.
No.
All right. I was terrible at ColdFusion. So awful.
Perfect.
But I do remember that because I've worked on a ColdFusion project and people were talking about structures or structs or whatever, and I was a C# guy and I was like, you mean like
a dictionary?
Like a subclass? And they were like, no, what's a class? So it was an ongoing battle. So
nice.
It was fun. It was good stuff. I have nothing else to ask you. I've always loved it. Like I admit I haven't used it in a while. I'm doing more of this than I am of this. Sometimes to my chagrin.
Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know about that. One
thing we've realized is mm-hmm. that we do a really good job of helping people who are learning these various frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
We do a really good job of helping people, like you said before, when
mm-hmm.
they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we're currently exploring ways of how can we help people in between that.
Nice.
Okay, so over the coming months, you know, expect us to really invest in that space.
Awesome.
And so any developer who, you know, even if they know MVC backwards, know their application backwards, we really want to be able to deliver tools,
nice.
Okay, to really help you there.
Nice.
And I think we can get in at that 10,000-foot view,
yeah.
okay, and start giving you some information that you'll find really useful,
nice.
Even as you're just going around doing
nice.
Your day job.
I think we were chatting about that the other day, and without giving away a whole bunch of details, I think we were talking to some of the Windows Azure APIs
yeah.
as a future
yeah.
treat.
Yes. Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Lots of future treats to come.
Yeah, cool. So... stay tuned. You want to show us the website one more time so
yeah.
everybody knows where to get
sure
it?
Sure thing. Getglimpse.com.
Cool.
Yeah. And whilst you're doing that, if anyone's interested in getting involved,
mm-hmm.
okay, whether it's to write your own plugins and you're having difficulty or you want to try something out or you want to contribute to Core, you know, we've got plenty of things that we need help with.
Cool.
And so, yeah, please get in contact.
Cool. So either use their site or the comments feature down below.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any requests or comments or mm-hmm. you just want to tell them great job, which they have done, feel free to use the comments board down below and get Glimpse. It's a fantastic debugging tool. Like I said, it saved me lots and lots of hours and probably saved a lot of hours as well. And I want to thank you guys for taking the time from the summit to come on. It was wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you for having us.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
and
a lot. It was awesome.
One last thing. We'd love to thank all the contributors we've had to date.
Thank you, guys.
You know, Glimpse wouldn't be what it is today without everyone who's pitched in tirelessly to help us get where we are today.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. Hope you guys had a good time with this and that you take a look at it and play with it some more. Take care.
Have a good one.